We are blessed to have Brother Wayne Miller and his...
Shakespeare's Hamlet poses, to be or not to be? That's the question. And when you read about that and you think about that, you immediately perhaps think about other great questions of life. Some of them are very perplexing. Some of them are very challenging. Many of them would be very thought-provoking about great questions of life that have been asked. I mean, you know, will we ever find a complete cure for cancer? Will there ever be a remedy where a man or woman will not drop dead suddenly from a heart attack? Will there be another nuclear war in our world? And in the next few weeks, you're going to be addressing some very important and pertinent Bible questions. What must a man do to be saved? If a man were to gain the entire world and lose his own soul, what would it be profited unto him? In other words, there's some great questions that we could ask tonight in God's Word. And they have tremendous implications and applications that reach very deeply into our lives. Well, centuries ago, a man of God, a great man of God, came to a point in his life where all the circumstances and the sorrow and the pain and the struggles and the suffering of his life brought him to a place where it appeared he was going to die. And in the midst of that intense suffering, the man Job, he asked one of the greatest, and perhaps the greatest question of all. Job says, and he asks, if a man dies, will he live again? Because see, the answer to that question will have a great impact and influence on how people live life on earth. Now, if you go back and do much research about Job chapter 14 and the book of Job in general, what you're going to find is many Bible scholars would agree and they believe that the book of Job is one of the oldest, perhaps the oldest book in all of the Word of the living God. And I tell you that for this reason. This question, if a man dies, will he live again? That's not a question that's just new to our society. It's not a question that's just new to the 20th or 21st century. That question has been around for in the hearts of man since the beginning of time. All the way through the history of the world, people have been thinking and wondering and asking, if a man dies, what then? Will he live? Or is it just all over? What happens? Well, tonight, we as children of God, we are so blessed, aren't we? That we have the answer in the greatest book in all the world, the Bible, which is a book for me. And tonight we look into that book and we investigate the precious Word of God and we come out with a certainty of an answer. And that certainty is guaranteed by the inspired, the inerrant, the living, and the holy Word of our God. And when we look into this book, we will find with a certainty and we will know with assurance. In fact, I am as confident in our answer tonight to that question as I am that we're all here together sitting in this building and in these pews singing and looking at one another. That we can answer the question according to the God's holy word with a confidence, yes, will a man, if he dies, will he live again? Without doubt. With all of the assurance in the world in which we can know by looking into the Word of God and say, God, speak to us through your Word. And let us answer this question because it gives us such assurance. In fact, Mr. Henry Longfellow put it this way. He said, life is real and life is earnest, and the grave is not the goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. You think tonight with me of the significance of the teaching and of eternal life in Christianity. Because it does provide a solution to some of the problems of life. For example, tonight, immortality, that is, we will live again. It solves the problem of our purpose. Our purpose on earth, our purpose of life. You know, we all know without doubt Life on earth can be wonderful, and it is many times. But at times, we also know that life can be very frustrating, very challenging, and very empty for a lot of folks. Disease, dealing with that. Accidents that you cannot explain. Just in the last few days of Virginia Beach, of innocent lives being taken. All the pain and all the death all contribute to the frustrations and the lives of disappointments. So therefore, a lot of people will ask on this earth, I mean, is it really worth it? I mean, is there any value in that? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, why are we here, and why did God make us, and what's the purpose of all of this journey on this earth and in this life? Because if life ends at death and nothing else happens, then these questions have no apparent answer. If everything is temporary, if everything is only insignificant and doomed to disappear at death, then what's the use? Oh, but however, friends, however, if immortality, that is, life after death, if it is true, and it absolutely is, then at least part of the purpose of life can be discovered from the Word of God. See, all of a sudden now, when I go to this precious book, our identity and our very nature, they're established here, and it's securing our destiny. I mean, when you look into the Word of God and you find the biblical teaching of judgment that is followed by eternal reward or punishment, then it makes it plain. My journey here on this earth is to bring honor and glory to God, to be transformed into His image, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if I'm being transformed into the image of Christ, then this time of preparation for eternal life is established. In other words, when you look at this question, if a man dies, will he live again? Without doubt, with all certainty that we have, then it helps me understand a little bit about the purpose of life. I'm preparing for the hereafter. Oh, but not only does it help us to resolve that problem, just think about immortality, life after death. It provides us justice on this earth. When you see the innocent suffer, do you ever struggle with that? You see the guilty prosper. You see criminals enjoying life of prosperity, and hardworking children of God and other individuals having problems and challenges. We see some of the finest people we know that is taken by the disease of cancer or heart disease or in the prime of their life. And you see others that could care less about God, could care less about His Son, could care less about His body, the church. And therefore you go, why is that? It isn't fair. It doesn't make sense. When I step back and I observe life around me and I see those type things happening, that here's an individual that could care less about God, and look how well they're doing. And yet I'm thinking about a lady right now that's 46 years old. I performed their wedding 12 years ago, and she's about at the point of death with cancer. And I go, why is that? I mean, when I step back and I observe life, and I'm go, God, sometimes, you know what? It doesn't seem fair from my perspective. As I look into it, as I look at it, as I make my observations surrounding it, I'm going, it isn't fair. It's not right. You know, I know a lot of times children will say things, well, that's not fair. Or there's some really difficult things of life that we as adults might step back and say, that just isn't right. Our sense of justice maybe outrage, and you become frustrated in looking at a solution, and you conclude with others, it's just not right, it's not fair. You want to get a balance to that? Immortality. Life after death provides us an opportunity for God's true righteousness to become manifest. I would encourage you, children of God, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is never mocked. An individual will reap what they So, in other words, immortality, life after death, it helps us understand that even though life may seem unfair, God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17, and the verse is number 31. What helps us to put that in balance? Because I know that God is a just God and a loving God and a fair God. And the fact that there's life after death helps me to interpret and to deal with those difficult circumstances of life in a way of justice, because there is life after death. Tonight, immortality provides us peace and it gives us assurance. The living Word of God just fills us with confidence. And it inspires us when we answer the question, if a man dies, and he will, shall he live again without doubt? As children of God, Scriptures give us hope and assurance that the grave, my friend, is not the end. There's life after our death. How do I know so? Look into the Word of the living God. It was read for us a few moments ago, Psalm 16. If you have your Bibles there, you may still want to look at that passage. If it's one of those passages in your Bible that you don't have highlighted and you're one of those individuals that likes to make notes or like to highlight a passage, I would encourage you to highlight that passage. Because the psalmist says that I've set the Lord continually before me because He's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, look at the assurance. Look at the beautiful result. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, and my flesh will also dwell securely or in hope. Why? Why would the psalmist give that assurance? Why would he have that tremendous feeling and that confidence? Because he says in verse 10, for you know you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is a fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What's the psalmist saying? Just what the psalmist said in Psalms 23, verse 6. And I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because my soul is not going to be left in Sheol or in Hades. Or you may want to write down the passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is broken, before the golden bowl is crushed, and the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the well at the cistern is crushed. In other words, you know what he's just described for us? The ending of life. And he says, before that happens, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Or Daniel chapter 12 and the verse number 2. The prophet of God says, multitudes who sleep in the dust will awake. And then you come into the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what you find there, it is ultimately Jesus who gives us the complete confidence. If a man dies, will he live again? Jesus says, yes, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Where did he make that statement, friends? At a grave. At a death of a very dear family friend by the name of Lazarus, a dear friend. And Jesus declared to his two sisters, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Why? Because if a man dies, will he live again? Jesus says, without doubt, without question, that will occur. Why? Because I am the resurrection and I am the life. You remember to the thief on the cross? When he was dying, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23 and verse 43. And then Jesus Christ himself didn't stay in the tomb. When they went to look for him, the angel said, he's not here. He is risen just as he said he would. Just as God told you it would be that way. So what you see, friends, is by authority in word and by his authority in action, Jesus Christ has declared, if a man dies, yes, he will live again. That's wonderful news, right? For children of God. Now, let's go back to the book of Job. If you'll go back with me to the book of Job, in chapter 14, that's the source of our question tonight. And in Job chapter 14, he asked the question, if a man dies, will he live again? You see the disappointment and frustration back in chapter 14, verse 1. A man who is born a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Life like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. And then you turn over to chapter 19. And I appreciate the song being led tonight. Again, Job chapter 19, verse 25, Job says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I will see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. What are you saying, Job? Oh, you know what? I asked the question a few chapters ago, if a man lives, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And I know that I'm going to see him. Because he says, as for me, I know that. And at last he'll take a stand, even when this life is over. My skin is destroyed. Yet I will see God. Can you please notice something? Did you hear his confidence? I know. It's not I hope so. There's a good chance of. It could be possible. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that ideal of Redeemer is a beautiful word. It's used some 118 times in the Old Testament. You may be acquainted with it in other wording. In the 118 times in the Old Testament, it literally means the next of kin. The kinsman. You remember Ruth and Boaz? Remember that story? Her kinsman, her redeemer, next to kin, that's the word. When he says, I know my redeemer, my kinsman, my next of kin, who will restore unto me the liberty and the fortune and the name. And exactly. Brethren, when you look at Job chapter 19 and verse 25, this is powerful. Because who in Job's mind was his redeemer? It wasn't man. It was only God, because God is the only one qualified for that task. So when you look at Job 14 and 14 and he says, if a man dies, will he live again? Please do not fail to turn to Job chapter 19. When he says, and yes, I know that when his skin is destroyed and his flesh is taken, I know that my Redeemer, my next of kin, my Redeemer lives. And I know he's the one that will care for me. Someone once said, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. The tragedy of life, friends, is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. A few years ago, a longtime preacher friend of mine was facing serious, life-threatening surgery. I spoke to him several times on the phone about that surgery. And a couple of days, literally a couple of days before that surgery took place, he and I were on the phone together. And honestly, friends, we talked about life and we talked about death. And we talked about dying, and we talked about his family, and we talked about some of our afternoons of golf, and we had a great conversation. And I said to him, brother, here's one of those moments in which you and I get to demonstrate that we really believe what we preach. He said, Wayne, you're exactly right. He said, because whatever happens, I know I'm okay. I said, brother, you believe And we know this is not the end. And that if you do not survive this surgery, and there was a high risk that he wouldn't, you have a much better life to come in a much better place. And he said, without doubt, aren't we blessed as children of God that God has done that for us? Sadly, my brother and your brother in Christ did not survive the recovery from his surgery. The surgery went well, but complications occurred, and he passed away in a matter of a few days. Within a week after that funeral, I called his wife to check on her and the kids, see how they were doing. And I called what I thought was his cell number, but I thought I was calling his home phone, but I accidentally dialed his cell number. I thought I was calling the house phone to check on the wife. And the message that I got from the cell phone really has stuck with me. This Verizon customer is not available to take your call at this time. I've thought about that a lot. Because there is coming a day when you and I will have made our last phone call. There's coming a day when we will have received our last call. And there's coming a time when you will send your last text message. And there's coming a day where you will have updated your Facebook for the very last time. And what is important about that, and what means everything with that moment it happens, is where are you with the Lord? That's what really matters. Not what did you put on Facebook. Where are you with the Lord? Because my brother's soul, guess what? It survived death. Yours will. And mine will as well. But the question that needs to be answered in light of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Some will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, did you hear that? The righteous into eternal life. Your soul is going to survive death. Why? Because when a man dies, will he live again? Without question, my friend. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yes. Why? Because the soul returns back to God who has given it. And Jesus himself, red letter edition, right? Red letter edition. He's the one that said it. It wasn't the preacher, it's not Kevin, it's not the elders of this church. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, some will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Why? Because when a man dies, he lives again. In one of two options. With the Savior of the world, or without the Savior of the world. In his presence, when Jesus has already stated in Matthew 25, enter into the joys of life. Depart from me. I don't know you. Either way, either with God, separated from God. With the Savior, absent from the Savior. The soul lives on. And when we die, the question of the hour is, am I prepared to meet God? So, tonight, do you need to make preparation? Do you need to turn from sin to the obedience of God's will? Do you need to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Do you need to be restored to your first love? Because there is a great day coming. We're going to sing that song in a moment. There's a great day coming, but we're also going to sing a part of that song that says, there's a sad day coming. Now, I don't know what the greatest day of your life is. Like many of us, you could start naming great days of your life, right? I remember 42 years ago,
when my precious bride, my beautiful wife and I were married. And I remember on occasions when our children and grandchildren had been born, great, great days. When I gave my heart and life to Christ in obedience to His will. What a great day. We've also experienced sad days. And you have too. You've experienced sad days. I still remember one of the saddest days of my life. I was 16 years old when my 9-year-old brother passed away. I remember that like yesterday. And it's been 49 years. The baby of our family died. And it was a sad day, folks. He died on Thanksgiving morning. And it was a sad day from that year after for my mom and my dad and our family. There have been other sad days. But I want to say with all the love I have within me, you've never experienced the sadness of a day that is coming if you're unprepared to meet Jesus. That will be the saddest of the saddest of the saddest of days. And it will be forever. If a man dies, will he live again? Yes. Either with God or separated from Him. Will you not make God your Redeemer? Would you not surrender your heart to Christ?